1 tonight. Going to cover, probably to 136. And we're going to be finishing, believe it or not, the Lord willing, we're going to be finishing the Psalms this month. And then we'll have a wonderful communion service at the end of this month. It's hard to believe that October is already here. But tonight, the title of our message is Praise the Lord. Let's say that together. Praise the Lord. Isn't that a good thing to do, is to praise the Lord? So let's look at Psalm 31, another of the Song of Ascents. This one is by David. It says in verse 1, Lord, my heart is not haughty, nor my eyes lofty, and neither do I concern myself with great matters, nor with things too profound for me. Have you ever gone to the Lord and talked like that? Lord, my heart, it's not full of pride. There's no existence of pride anywhere in my heart, Lord. You know that. You search the heart. Amen. Do you pray that way? I would be terrified to pray that way tonight. Matter of fact, you would probably want to crawl under the chairs, for lightning would start striking. You understand? But he says, Lord, listen, my heart, it's just not proud. It's free from pride. And my eyes, they're not lifted up. They're not arrogant. Lord, I don't have a proud look in me at all. And you look at that, nor do I walk in things that are too difficult, too wonderful, things that are over my head. I don't do any of those things. And look why David says that to the Lord. He says, because surely I have calmed and quieted my soul like a weaned child with his mother. Like a weaned child is my soul within me. Now, that's a great word, isn't it? You know, there are times when I wish I could say what David just said. That, in other words, you know what? I have such peace. I have such rest. I feel like I'm back in the arms of my mother, and she's just rocking me. You know what I mean? You don't. Okay. No, you know what I'm saying. That's what David was doing. He says, I'm just like a little weaned baby, a little weaned child. And you know what? Here's what I know about children, especially those that the mom is weaning. They do not want to be weaned. Right. Thank you. One amen, okay? In other words, do they fight you? Do they weep? Do they pout? Do they go in crazy, right? Listen, you better believe. You know why? Because they truly believe they know what's best. They're just a little baby. They think they know what's best. See, when a child is being weaned into their little hearts and minds, they really believe that they are losing something. But the truth of the matter is when a child is weaned, he's gaining something. Amen? It's time to grow up. It's time to, you can't stay a little baby all of your life, you know, and Christians are the same way. Christians should not be little babies all of their life. They have to grow up. Did you know that believers, unfortunately, you know, they can grow old without ever growing up? And that's a sad word, isn't it? Matter of fact, that's a tragedy. I mean, see, a believer cannot stay on an exclusive milk diet. We all have to have milk. And we continue on the milk, but you can't stay on the milk. Does that make sense? Or you'll never, ever mature. You will never, ever grow up. I mean, just look at me and say I'm 5 years old. That's scary. But if I had a bottle in my hand and I'm 5 or 6 years old and I'm still on the bottle, the milk bottle, do I have a problem? Well, okay, well, so does a believer. You know, the writer of Hebrews says it this way in Hebrews 5:13, for every believer, that means no exceptions, for everyone who partakes or uses only milk, in other words, again, an exclusive milk diet, is unskilled in the word of righteousness, meaning you're not mature when it comes to right living, okay? He says he's just a baby, he's immature. But watch this now. We go from milk to solid food, but solid food belongs to those who are of full age, those that are going on and maturing, and that is those by reason of use, they have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. So, you know, yes, we start out with milk. You have to have the milk of the word. That's how we grow, amen? but solid food. See, the milk of the Word, remember what the milk of the Word really is? It's like Jesus 101. We learn all the facts. We learn about the Lord and all of the and we should. But now Jesus, is Jesus in the manger? No. Is Jesus on the cross? In the tomb? No, Jesus has ascended. He's sitting at the right hand of God right now, the place of all power, all authority. So solid food then is this. It's now seeing what our great high priest is doing present tense. We know what Jesus has done past tense. Does that make sense? So we get our orders there from headquarters. That solid food belongs to us. And, you know, God weans us. He's all through your life. Have you ever noticed that? That God is always weaning us. He's weaning us from the things in this fallen world. The wrong things. Amen? Come on. He's always doing that. You know, and the reason he does that is so we can have something better. Not something worse. And so God matures us by weaning us from the world. From pride, self-righteousness, from self. That's the main thing, amen? He may change our plans. He even may change our vocation. And he even may change our friends. He's always weaning us so we are more and more like Christ Jesus, our Lord. But once the weaning process kind of ends, there's a supernatural peace about it all. There's a supernatural rest. And that's what David was saying. So he goes and he says, "Oh, Israel," we could put our names there, "Oh, Calvary Chapel, hope in the Lord from this time forth and forevermore." Did you catch that? Hope in the Lord. One of the greatest things that we can wean ourselves from is every false hope that the world tries to lay upon us. Amen? Oh, we don't need any of that. We Christians only have one true hope, and that loved one is this. He is the blessed hope. We're looking for him. We're looking for him right now, the glorious appearance of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who gave himself for us. And you know what? He may be coming for us tonight. You just don't know. Now, look at Psalm 132, another song of the ascents. He says, Lord, remember David, all his afflictions, how he swore to the Lord and vowed to the mighty one of Jacob, "Surely I will not go into the chamber of my house or go up to the comfort of my bed. I will not give sleep to my eyes, slumber to my eyelids." Why? Well, until I find a place for the Lord, a dwelling place for the mighty one of Jacob. Behold, we heard of it in Ephratah. That's a region there by Bethlehem, remember? And we found it in the fields of the woods. Now, he's talking now. Remember when they brought the Ark of the Covenant out of the woods into the tabernacle? And he says, "Arise, O Lord, from your resting place, you in the ark of your strength, and let your priest be clothed with righteousness. Let your saints shout for joy. For your servant David's sake, do not turn away the face of your anointed." Now, King David's great desire, as we all know, was to build a house for the Lord. Amen? He said, "I'm not going to sleep. I'm not going to go up to the bed. I'm not going home. I'm not doing anything until I find a place for my Lord." Now, but God didn't allow David to build the temple, remember? He had blood on his hands. He said, no. So God permitted, though, his son Solomon to build one of the greatest temples that Israel has ever had. It stood for 400 years until Babylonians came in, remember, in 586 BC and destroyed it and brought it all to the ground. It was so incredibly beautiful. So what did David do since he wasn't allowed to build the temple? He sat down, no doubt guided by the Spirit of God, and started drawing up the blueprints or the plans for the brand new temple. And not only that, if you read Chronicles, I forget exactly what chapter, 26 there at the end of 1 Chronicles, I think. What did David do? From his own personal treasury, He brings out as offerings for the temple precious stones and bronze and iron and gold and silver for the temple. Matter of fact, let me give you this. Do you know how many tons of gold David gave? 110 tons. Ooh, hello, David. How about the silver? You ready for this? 260 tons of refined silver. That's what David did. Let me ask you a question. Why did David do that? Yes, he loved the Lord. But why did he do it? David gave all that he had to build the temple of God. You know why he did it? He did it for the next generation. And you know what we have done? We have built this place to give away to the next generation. Amen? And so they can continue the good fight of faith. So they continue spreading the word of God. So they can continue teaching God's word line by line through all the books of the Bible. Amen? See, we raise things up to give away, loved one. And that's exactly what you've done here, and that's what I have done here. So the temple was not really for God. It was a place where people could approach God. Amen? So with all that being said, God said, no, David, you can't do it. Solomon's going to have to do it. But listen to what God did for David. He says in verse 11, the Lord has sworn in truth to David. He will not turn from it. I will set upon your throne the fruit of your body. Now, if your sons keep my covenant and my testimony, which I shall teach them, their sons shall also sit upon your throne forever. Now, listen, David's sons were messed up, amen? So, you know, we're not talking about them, all right? This is not even speaking of Solomon. This is speaking of Jesus Christ, the Messiah, who would come through the lineage of David, amen, and sit upon that throne. Jesus, our Lord, the Savior of the world, the one who was born of a virgin, came to this crummy planet to save us and died and was buried and raised from the dead, ascended to the right hand of God, the one who is coming for us one day at the second coming when we return with him. The temple that's there in Jerusalem, Jesus then will ascend the throne of David, amen, for the 1,000-year reign. Now let's go on to Psalm 133, another of the Song of Ascents, and it's one of David. You know this one very well, I'm sure. Remember, I don't know if I didn't preface it, but you remember the Song of Ascents? Remember what they are for, these 15 Psalms? That whenever they went on pilgrimage, the children of Israel, three times a year they had to go to Jerusalem for Passover and Passover and Pentecost and Tabernacles, so they would sing these songs as they traveled there. And this one here is a song of unity, very short. It says, behold. We should put it this way, a wonder seldom seen, so really take a good look at it, okay? What's that? Well, behold how good and how pleasant it is for, not just anyone, watch that, not just anyone, but for brethren to dwell together in unity. Isn't that a great thing to be in unity? Don't you hate division? Don't you hate discord? Whether it's in your own personal family or in the family of God. Isn't it wonderful to have a peaceful house? Isn't it wonderful to just come in here and we're at peace tonight? I hope no one's mad at anybody. You know, that's a horrible thing. Dear God, not a believer. No, and I look at that and I say, oh Lord, how wonderful this is. That unity, unity, remember, not uniformity. No, but unity. And it's good, it's pleasant. We're one in the Lord. We're one spirit. We're one body. We're the body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It says in Ephesians 4:3, endeavoring or literally making every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. You remember in Jesus' high priestly prayer in John 17:21, hours before he went to the cross, he prayed for many things, but one of the things that Jesus prayed for was our unity. He said, oh, Father, that they may be one as you and I are one. Man, listen, we are one with the Lord. Ephesians teaches that we're of his bone, of his flesh, of his body. Amen? Oh, listen, We are one with the Lord tonight in that unity. And Jesus, now listen, he didn't pray for denominational unity, did he? No, there was no denominations, you know, like Calvary Chapel or Baptist, Pentecost, whatever. He didn't pray for that everybody should be the same in the same denomination. That doesn't even make sense, because that doesn't create unity, does it? No, it doesn't. Just read history, Christian history. No, what creates unity is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, loved one. And you know what? We're the only people on earth, as you've heard me say many times, we're the only people on earth that have true unity. Amen? It says for us that we need to guard it. We should protect it at all costs. Now, unity here is precious. That word precious means of great value, like a treasure. It says it's like the precious oil upon the head running down on the beard of Aaron running down on the edge of his garments, meaning going all the way down to his feet, from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet. In other words, his whole body is now consecrated unto the Lord. Remember that Aaron was the first high priest of Israel, and when he was anointed in the book of Exodus, man, all the oil poured down over his face, his head, and then he had, remember, the breastplate. And on the breastplate of righteousness that he wore, were the 12 stones representing the 12 tribes of Israel. And that oil covered all of that, and it just went all the way on down. All the tribes of Israel, and you know what? That speaks of us as well. The Bible tells us, in 1 Corinthians 12, 13, it says, by one Spirit, we were all baptized into the body of Christ, the new birth. Amen? Oh, listen, we are one, just like they said there. And he says, oh, it's like the dew of Hermon descending upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, life forevermore. So the oil, the unity, remember the fragrance of the oil? Remember when the oil was made, the Lord gave the instructions, it has to be this ingredient, this, this, and this, and the fragrance was overwhelming. Listen, did you know that the Bible says in the New Testament, it tells us that we are the fragrance of Christ unto God? Isn't that a beautiful word? That tonight we smell just like Jesus, amen? And I just thank God for that. And that blessing of unity, what is it? Well, it's life forevermore, evermore, forever and ever and ever. And one day, we'll see it, not now, but one day the entire world will be in unity. And you know why? Because the Prince of Peace is ruling on this planet. He says in Psalm 134, another song of the ascents, this is the last one. So everybody's getting ready to leave home, if you will. The feast is over, and this one is one everybody knows this one. Behold, bless ye the Lord, all you what? And we are his servants tonight. We are the living sacrifices on the altar of God. Amen? He says, oh, behold, bless ye the Lord, all ye servants of the Lord, who by night stand in the house of the Lord. Lift up your hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord who made heaven and earth, bless you from Zion. Did you catch that? Who stand by night? So the priest there at the temple, you know, and so forth, and they would be singing this, but you know what? Here we are tonight. We're standing tonight ourselves. We are servants of the Lord. Matter of fact, the Bible says that we are a priest unto God, that we're a holy priesthood, a chosen generation. Amen? Do you remember that song? Y'all remember? Probably, if you're the old timer like me, back, remember in the days of the Praise and Maranatha, remember that? How we would sing that song? We used to sing it years ago at Calvary. You know, behold, bless ye the Lord. Remember that? And then what would you sing? Lift up your hands in the sanctuary and bless ye the Lord. Remember that? Well, to me, those were good times. You know what I mean? because we would sing the Psalms more than we do today back then. I'm not trying to go back into the glory days that were filled with glory. Psalm 135. So we leave the Psalm of Ascents, and now we reach into the songs of praise, or the hallelujahs, if you will. Psalm 135, verse 1. Hallelujah, that's what it says. Praise the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. I like that. Praise the name of the Lord. He is our righteousness. He is our shepherd. Amen. He is our healer. He is our provider. He is our peace. Praise the Lord. He is everything that we need. Amen. He is Jehovah Jireh. He is El Shaddai. He's all that we will ever need. And if it's not here, God will create it for us. Amen. Man, praise the name. Hallelujah to the Lord. And there he says again, oh, praise him, you servants of the Lord who stand in the house of the Lord, in the courts of the house of our God. Hallelujah. He says it again. Praise the Lord. And he tells us why. For the Lord is good. You know, a lot of people blame God for a lot of things. Believers blame God. Believers sometimes question God. And it's okay. God understands. But you know, I'm going to tell you, God is good. He is good. That you hear me every service. God is good. When that became a revelation in my heart all those years ago, I have never, usually I've tried to never fail to say that the moment I get into the pulpit. God is good. Everything he does is good. Every moment he does good. He continuously doeth good. Why? Because God is good. It says, oh, listen, sing praises to his name, for it is pleasant. Did you know that God's goodness is unsearchable? Listen to me. God has been good to you today. All day long. God, everything that, if whatever God has done for you, through you, in you, around you, whatever it might be, whatever he has done, it is good. God, do you understand? God is good to you all day long. And how many of us are truly even practice an awareness of that? He's good. When I go home tonight, I have a bed. I pray. You know how you just get into the bed, but you know, like, it's your, I love my mattress. It's part of me. My pillow is part of me. Now, I sleep with two pillows. You don't need all this information, but I don't care. I hug one pillow and I put my head on the other. Now, why do I do that? I have no idea. Maybe there's something wrong with me. But there's nothing better than laying there. You know, you put your breathing machine on and I'm teasing. Never mind. Let's keep going here. God is good. Look at verse 4. For the Lord has chosen Jacob, watch this, for himself, meaning Israel. Israel for his precious possession. That's what that word means, special treasure. Listen, boy, should we praise the Lord? I'm going to tell you, we should be praising the Lord for his incredible grace. Yes, God chose Israel out of all the people on this planet. He did it for himself. Deuteronomy 14:2, for you are a holy people to the Lord your God. The Lord has chosen you to be a people for himself, a special treasure above all the peoples who are on the face of the earth. Praise the Lord. But here's the deal. God has chosen you. Remember Ephesians 1:4, that God has chosen us in him, in Christ, before the foundations of the world. In eternity, God chose you in time. Jesus said, what did he tell the disciples? You choose me. I chose you, that you should go and bear fruit. Amen? Listen, isn't it incredible? I mean, how can you not praise the Lord? I mean, he picked you. He picked you. I would not pick you. No, I'm joking. You have to have humor. It's Wednesday. No, think about it. Doesn't that, I mean, how can you not praise the Lord? He picked you. He loves you. He wants you. You are his own special treasure tonight. And look what he says in verse 5. Oh, I know that the Lord is great. We just need to stop right there. The word know there literally means I know it beyond a shadow of a doubt. I know it because I've experienced the greatness of God. Do you know that? Do you have confidence in God tonight? That God is bigger than anything that you may face in your life, any wound, any hurt, any discouragement, any fear, no matter what it might be. But we have to keep our minds right. Amen? He says, oh, I know that the Lord is great and our Lord is above all gods. You see that little G there? Meaning all these false gods. Loved one, listen. We should praise the Lord because he is the great, the only great God. Amen? I have confidence in the Lord. Isn't it amazing that, you know, we can go to the Lord and just say, and leave it with him? Just leave it with him. Lord, here it is. I don't know how to handle this. I don't know how to take care of this, but I know what you do, and I'm just going to leave it with you. You can cast all of your care tonight upon the Lord, for he careth for you. Amen? He really does. All of your anxiety, every burden that you may have, whatever you're fighting, maybe a secret sin, God says, I'm here. I'm for you. And God says, you can be confident that he who began a good work in you will complete it until the very day of Christ. Amen. That's what he does for us all. He's always working for us, always. We can put all of our confidence in him, for he is Almighty God. He is great. And not only that, whatever the Lord pleases, he does. In heaven, in earth, in seas, in all the deep places. He causes vapors or condensation to ascend from the ends of the earth. He makes lightning for the rain. He brings the wind out of his treasuries. It'd be better for us to trust the Lord and not our local weatherman. Amen? I think he knows what's doing. So why do we praise the Lord? We praise the Lord because he rules over all. He made all things. He made the universe, and he made it exactly the way he wanted to, the way that it pleased him. Somebody might say, well, I don't like the way God did it. Well, go make your own. Amen? That's what J. Vernon McGee said. He was a character, wasn't he? Yeah, you don't like it? Go make your own universe and shut up. That's the way he would do it. I was more polite. Do you understand? No. The Bible says in Daniel 4:35, no one can restrain God's hands, and no one can say to him, what have you done? Isaiah the prophet, he said that God said this, I'll do all my pleasure. I'll do as I please, for my counsel, God says, shall always stand. Now drop down to verse 15, and let's look at that together. Psalm 135:15. You know, some things in Scripture are so important to God that he repeats it. Remember, this sounds almost identical to Psalm 115 here. It says, the idols of the nations, the Gentiles, the pagans, it says, are silver and gold, the work of men's hands. So what are their gods? They make them themselves, manufactured by man. And you're going to notice now that whenever man makes something, he usually makes it after himself, okay? Watch this. Here it comes. Well, they have mouths, but they don't speak. Eyes they have, but they don't see. So they have a mouth. You carve out that little mouth on the idol, but you know what? It can't speak to you. It can't promise you one thing. It can't tell you anything in the past of your life. It can't tell you anything about the future. Why? It is a dumb idol. Amen? And it says here, it says, eyes that cannot see. They don't know who's, you know, isn't that ridiculous that they put a little eye there and they don't see you and you bow down to it or pour a little milk all over it or throw an offering to it? And do you know what I'm saying? People do that today. But they don't see any. You could give them a million offerings and they still wouldn't see who it is. They have ears. Have you ever seen some of the idols? and I'm not going to mention who the idols belong to, but their ears are gigantic ears. You know what I mean? Like, that idol's really going to hear you because I made his ear, you know, one story high. You know what I mean? No, they have ears, but they do not hear, nor is there any breath in their mouths. It doesn't matter how much you pray to them, how much you shout to them. A million people could shout. They don't hear a thing. They have noses. They couldn't smell a million sacrifices, okay? Why? They don't have, they're idols. They don't have life. They're lifeless idols. He says, watch now. And those who make them are like them. The root word for idol is worthless, okay? So then worshipers who do those things become worthless as well. Let's read it again. Those who make them are just like them. So is everyone who trusts in them. What a word. Man, it says like them. Man is always transformed into whatever he worships and serves. Aren't you glad that we're a believer tonight and that Jesus is our Lord and the Holy Spirit is transforming us into the same image of Christ Jesus our Lord, and we are going from glory to glory to glory. Amen? We're not a bunch of dumb people. We're saints of the living God. And whenever a man, if man doesn't worship God, then they always start worshiping they go to themselves. The creature starts worshiping the creature, not the creator. And the Bible says in Romans 1:21, it says, because although they knew God, talking about mankind, they knew God through creation, if you will, the sun, moons, and stars. And he said, they did not glorify or honor him as God, nor were they thankful, but became futile or empty, worthless in their thinking, their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened or enslaved. Professing to be wise, they became fools. That word is morons, by the way. And they changed or exchanged the glory of the incorruptible God into an image like corruptible man, birds, four-footed animals, creeping things. Do you think that's an insult to God? Think about that. They said, we don't want anything to do with God, so they traded God for like a snake or a block of wood or some kind of creepy thing, and or a cockroach or something, a little bug. What an insult to the Lord. No, whenever man stops the worship of the true God, they worship self, and then that becomes boring. So they digress, and then they start worshiping things less than even themselves. I mean, I can't imagine worshiping a bug. Do you understand? I kill bugs. Amen? Amen. Do you want bugs in your house? No. Paul Koo was telling me I know the Lord would want me to share this about bugs, insects. One of the children there, and I'm probably going to get it a little wrong because I don't have that great of a memory, but Carol and Steve and them, they got him, they were talking to him about insects and bugs, and so he started collecting them. Is that right, Paul? He was collecting with a little pen and made a deal. He's just learning so much, and then they gave him a book all about insects and the bugs and the butterflies and all the, and he devoured that. That's what you're doing. That's what you're doing. Did you know that you're helping children? Think about that. Had you not sent some of the things that you sent down there, and which was so much, it was overflowing. Man, what you're doing down there, the way you support it, is such a great blessing. And so, we think about the things that God is doing, but here we're talking about those idols. Remember the last word of John, the apostle of love, and what is it, 1 John 5:21, little children, he says, keep or guard or protect yourself from idols. Amen. Chronologically, that was probably the last word scripturally that John ever penned. And that means even today, to keep ourselves from anything that would make us want it more than Jesus Christ. Amen? Now, look at verse 19. It says, oh, bless the Lord, O house of Israel. Bless the Lord, O house of Aaron. Bless the Lord, O house of Levi. You who fear the Lord, bless the Lord. Hey, that's us, okay? Bless the Lord out of Zion who dwells in Jerusalem. And there it is again. Praise the Lord, or hallelujah. So the psalm ends exactly the way it began. Let's look at Psalm 136 now. Giving thanks, praising God for his mercy. And we're not going to have time tonight to cover every verse. But I do want to say this, that if you read it, every verse mentioned ends with the mercy of God. 26 times that is done. So let's just cover a few verses tonight, and then we're going to pray and go home. It says in verse 1, it says, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord." And why do we give thanks to the Lord? Why do we praise the Lord? He is good. He is good. For his mercy endures forever. He says, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord," or to the God of gods, that little g again, "for his mercy endures forever. Oh, give thanks to the Lord of lords, for his mercy endures forever." So what is verses 1 through 3? What are they telling us? That we should praise the Lord tonight. We should praise the Lord tomorrow, every day of our life, for what he is. God is good. We've already said that earlier, but he is so good. But he's also God of gods, the false gods. He is the only true and living God. And not only that, he is the Lord of lords. Look at verse 4. "To him alone," and no one else, "to him alone does great wonders, to him who alone does great wonders, for his mercy endures forever." So in verse 4, we praise the Lord who is alone able to do great things, marvelous things, unbelievable things. And then in verses 5 through 9, which I'm not going to read, we give thanks to God for all that he has done in creation. Now drop down with me to verse 23, is because we give thanks to the Lord for his unsearchable, unbelievable grace. Okay, watch this in verse 23. "Who remembered us in our lowly state, his mercy endures forever." Now, the word "remembered" there means that he thinks upon us. He thought upon Israel. And not only that, rescued us from our enemies. Oh, his mercy endures forever. "Who gives food to all flesh, for his mercy endures forever. Oh, give thanks to the God of heaven, for his mercy endures forever." Verse 23, "Who remembered us in our lowly state." Listen, God remembered Israel in their lowly state. But here's the deal. God has also remembered us. Amen? Oh, that's so wonderful. Listen, do you know that there is never, and I don't understand it, but I know it's true, there is never a second that God is not thinking about us. Isn't that amazing? I mean, God is thinking about you right this very minute. Right this very minute. He's thinking about you. God never sees a crowd. He always sees the individual. Amen? He looks upon every heart. He sees us. He knows us. He loves us. We are precious in his sight, and he thinks upon us. I wonder how many people in Fort Worth are thinking about me tonight. Hello? Do you understand? But I tell you that I know one, and that's our God. You know, the Bible tells us this in Psalm 139, verse 17. "How precious also are your thoughts to me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they would be more in number than the sand." Is that amazing? More than the number. Go count the sand. Hello? If you think about that. He says, "Oh, and when I'm awake, I am still with you." Why do we praise the Lord? We praise the Lord because he did not forget Israel, okay, but I'm praising the Lord tonight, for he didn't forget us. He's thinking about us right now. Look at verse 23 again. It says, he remembers us in our lowly state. That means in our weakness, in our utter hopelessness, and so forth. He says, oh, for my mercy endures forever. God's love, he never quits. He never gives up. Just like the song that sometimes we sing. Listen, we praise the Lord, not only because he remembers us, but because he saved us. What did Jesus say in Luke 19:10? For the Son of Man came to what? To seek and save those which were lost. Man, he found you. He found me. The mercy of the Lord, it endureth forever. In Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 and 5 there, what does he say? But God, who is rich in mercy. You know what that word means? Unlimited mercy. You can't measure the mercy of God. But God, who is rich in mercy, oh, thank God, because of his great love with which he loved us. Can you believe that we are the object of God's love? You ever think about that? And his love is unconditional. His love is unchanging. God is love. It says, because of his great love, which he loved us. Listen to what he did. Even when we were dead in trespasses, he made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you have been saved. Grace, the unearned, unmerited, divine favor of God. He gives us what we do not deserve. Oh, I tell you what, I can praise the Lord over that. Amen. Oh, listen, I thank God. What does it say in the Bible, Romans 5:8? But God demonstrates, that word means God's, he proves his own love for us, that while we were yet sinners, we were still living in sin, Christ died for the ungodly. He died for the sinner. He took your place. He took my place. Amen? I tell you, I can praise the Lord. Heaven is my home. I can praise the Lord. Hell's not never going to be. Amen? Jesus is building a place for us, or probably it's already ready. It's already prepared. Has your name right there on the front. Hey, Bill, come on in. Oh, what a day that is going to be. Whenever the psalmist will finally close out, when we finally get there, maybe by communion time. Remember what he says? Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Do you have breath tonight? Praise the Lord. Amen. Let's praise the Lord. We praise you and we thank you in Jesus' name, Father. We praise you tonight. I tell you, I praise him because, again, he may come tonight. We don't know. We're an expectant people. Amen. Listen to me. I don't know what you're going through. God knows. And whatever it is, you need to remember this as you go home tonight and you put your head upon that pillow, or maybe two pillows, okay? And it's this, that God is for you. He is not only for you, he is with you. And not only is he with you, he will never, as I say so many times, just I say it to myself daily. That's why I guess I say it so much to you. He will never, no, never, no, never relax his hold upon you. Never. No matter what you're facing, no matter what you're going through, no matter what your troubles might be in this life, we live in the valley usually, Christians, don't you? Don't you know that? We're not on the mountaintop every day of our life. Oh, I like it up there, but we're not always there, are we? No, we're in the valley. There's a war. We fight against the flesh, the devil, this stinking world. But in the midst of all of it, God is for you. No matter what you face, you just have to say, hey, well, God is for me. He's for me. He's with me. And he will never leave me. And he will never forsake me. Father, we praise you tonight. We give you praise. We praise the Lord for these great psalms. What a reminder that our hearts should be filled with wonder and praise to our God. We love you. We give you praise tonight. We give you honor tonight, O Lord. We give you the glory tonight for all that you have done and all that you're going to do and all that you will do, O God. And all of it is going to be good, for you are good and doeth good. We love you tonight. We give you praise in the mighty name of Jesus. And the church says, amen. Amen. Let's stand to our feet tonight. Amen.